Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm so grateful you're joining me, joining us in this moment that we're joining together to know ourselves as the very love of God. So grateful that this is happening for us right now in the eternal now moment. We are grateful. And our topic, this is the homework class, our topic for this two class period is having a spiritual career, and our whole theme for this entire series is having a spiritual career. It's bringing spirit to work with us, and I absolutely love this topic because it's really an opportunity to share so much of what I've personally learned having a spiritual career. And I talk with so many people who are light workers and professional light workers or would like to be a professional light worker. And I believe that everyone can be a light worker at work. It doesn't matter what their profession is. But I am going to gear some things in this particular class today, practical application of the teachings of A Course in Miracles in your workplace. So we're going to begin with a prayer. So grateful to place my hand on my heart and take this breath of love and gratitude. So grateful to open ourselves to the unprecedented, to the unlimited. So grateful and thankful to consciously attune to the perfect love of God that is our very essence and nature. So grateful to join together for the purpose of remembering the truth that sets us free from all limited beliefs and all attachment to the illusion. We are grateful and thankful to open ourselves to a healing dialogue, a dynamic conversation that is profoundly inspiring and healing. What I know for each and every one of us is we are laying on the altar fire of divine love all burdens that we have in relationship to working for God, working for spirit, serving the light, any resistance or reluctance that we have, any thoughts of unworthiness, we're allowing them to permanently dissolve and resolve back to the root cause so we never experience them again. So grateful to let them go and say bye-bye. So grateful to open our hearts and minds to the unprecedented, unlimited nature of our very being. So grateful that the kingdom is pre-installed. So grateful that there is profound support in the invisible as well as the visible, and we are allowing ourselves to receive it, to feel it, to know it, to experience it, to magnify it and multiply it. So grateful to be in service to the light this moment, this day, and with our whole life. We are grateful to share the benefits with all beings because we are one with them. In gratitude, we let it be. In gratitude, we know it's done. And so it is. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. Oh, yes. So, I am... One of the things that I was talking about as we came to a close yesterday is something that was a wonderful, powerful, healing revelation for me. And that is that we as light workers often end up playing small because we feel unworthy. And one of the things that really truly gets in our way is that, and I find that for me, this was unconscious for a very, very long time. And I was so glad when I finally saw it. It's that because we feel unworthy, we do things that sabotage us and continue that sense of unworthiness. And then because of that, we don't feel worthy of having a career or work or contributing in the world, no matter what our career is, in ways that profoundly inspire and uplift and move and motivate people, because we feel that we're fundamentally bad or wrong on some level. And so that was certainly a big challenge for me. And I was so grateful that I realized what was going on, that I was playing small because I had such a strong belief that I wasn't good enough, that there was something wrong with me. And I also had a very strong fear that I could say something or do something that would influence somebody and in some way be to their detriment. I have come to believe or feel strongly that in past incarnations, many times I was a leader, a teacher, a priest, a priestess, spiritual teacher, leader, community teacher, leader, perhaps politician, but mostly I feel religious leadership in my many, many incarnations where I was either wounded by the church or the organization I was a part of, or I was doing the wounding, or both. And that I came into this incarnation, and one of the things that I am intent on healing in this incarnation is this fear of hurting people, this fear of doing things that would be detrimental to their spiritual growth. And when I was younger, I could be quite unkind and quite cruel with my words, and many, many, many times I would hurt the people I loved most by saying incredibly unkind and cruel and vicious things to them, intended to hurt them, intended to wound them. And by doing that, I perpetuated this belief that there was something terribly wrong with me, that I was unworthy of love, that I didn't deserve good things, and that I should be punished. So I had a lot of that operating in my mind, which I still feel residue of from time to time, but I am certain that I would not knowingly do things to hurt people. So I might from time to time make a sarcastic remark or a snippy comment or be irritable or frustrated, but I do not feel I am any longer capable of saying something cruel or punishing to someone, and certainly not consciously intending to hurt anyone with my words. And that's a great relief to me. And it took me quite a bit of attention and inner work to reach that point. Not that that's required by anyone, but it was my journey. And so this is part of what motivates me so, so strongly to support people who are interested in having a spiritual profession and taking spirit to work with them in whatever way that suits them, and being a a loving presence in their families, because I know how much can be accomplished, because I've seen extraordinary transformation in my family, in myself, and in those around me. And for particularly for the people who participate in my year-long course, which is entitled Masterful Living, I've seen them. I mean, there are times when I listen to them tell their stories and I just weep. I do. I weep from deep gratitude that people are discovering that these practices work for them, that they can heal their mind, they can heal their family, they can heal their relationships, they can heal all things when God does the healing. So one of the things that I would like to, there's so much I'd like to cover, and one of the things I'd like to cover is about healing. So healing comes when we choose love. Love is the healer, because love is our, as Deepak Chopra might say, love is the ground of our being. And it is the essence of our being. It's our true nature. It's the field in which we live, move, and have our being. Love. Love is all there is. There's nothing outside of love. And so when we choose loving thoughts, loving actions, loving words, taking loving steps, we are restoring ourselves. It's like a resurrection. It is transfiguration, transformation. It's all love being revealed in our mind, in our heart, and even in our cellular structure, in our energy field. So love is our healer. And in A Course in Miracles, there are references to the unhealed healer, the unhealed healer. And we'll look at that a little bit. And in A Course in Miracles, it also talks about teachers, teachers of God. And so I remember one time I was being interviewed and I was asked, how do you feel about charging money for healing? And I said, you know, that doesn't even make sense to me, because I am not a healer. I do not know how to heal anyone but myself. And even then, sometimes I don't know. But I know who knows. I know the knower who knows. And I have a relationship with that healer, that great healer. And it's the same healer that Jesus worked with, the Holy Spirit, the higher Holy Spirit self, the mighty I Am presence. And we're all joined in that one mind, that one power, that one presence. And for me, while I'm not a healer of anyone but myself, I can still teach people how to learn, and I can teach people how to remember their wholeness. So I can teach what I have learned, but I can't heal anyone. I can join with someone and know the truth about them, and that has a healing effect, but I wouldn't ever say I am a healer. To me, love is the healer, and although I am love, I don't say I am a healer. But I believe and know for a fact that I can be a healing presence in this world. It is my calling. And so with regard to charging money for healing, I don't have any opinions about it for anybody else. But for myself, I don't charge for healing, but I do charge for my time, for my energy, for my availability in one-on-one counseling sessions and in classes. I charge money for those kinds of things, for my time, my energy, and I feel fine about that. And I learned early on that if you like with my Masterful Living and Finding Freedom classes, those classes are not free because I have had the experience of giving it to people for free. They didn't value it, they kind of threw it away, and then they said it didn't work for them, but they never really did anything with it. Why? Because their ego felt they had no skin in the game. Why bother? If she's giving it to me, it must not be worth anything. Now, of course, I've learned over the years of doing Living A Course in Miracles all these times that these classes, for those who use them, brings enormous benefit. I've had, golly, I don't even can even imagine how many people have written to tell me how much they appreciate these classes. And I'm so happy we can give them away free, and my hope is that people will use them and find them valuable, and that they can really take what's offered in these classes and transform their own life because they are the healer. And so for us, I've learned that let us count on the Holy Spirit to be the healer, and that we have a relationship with the healer, and that Jesus is a friend of ours, as the song says, and we have the angels, as Jesus tells us in A Course in Miracles, to help us, and that we rely on these things. Now, briefly, I'd like to say that in the Manual for Teachers, which is where I tell people who are interested in starting with A Course in Miracles, they're brand new to it, I suggest they read Gary Renard's book, Disappearance of the Universe, and I suggest that they read the Manual for Teachers and the even the clarification of terms to start off with. It's a good place to start. And yeah. So in the Manual for Teachers, chapter 1 asks, who are God's teachers? And it says, a teacher of God is anyone who chooses to be one. His qualifications consist solely in this. Somehow, somewhere, he has made a deliberate choice in which he did not see his interests as apart from someone else's. Once he's done that, his road is established and his direction is sure. And so it's when you have even just once had a realization that my interests and this other person's interest are not separate because we're not separate. That's what transforms us into a teacher of God. So we choose to have that thought, that awareness, that recognition, and that's what sets us on that path. It tells us that the teachers of God have a function, and the function is to save time. So it's about awakening within the dream and transcending time and space. It says that it does not matter who we were before we heard the call, and that the call is universal. Jesus tells us in A Course in Miracles, all are called, all are called. But not everyone chooses to answer the call, but all are called. And then in chapter 2 of the Manual for Teachers, it says, certain pupils have been assigned to each of God's two teachers, and they will begin to look for him as soon as he's answered the call. They were chosen for him because the form of the universal curriculum that he will teach is best for them in view of their level of understanding. His pupils have been waiting for him, for his coming is certain. Again, it is only a matter of time. Once he has chosen to fulfill his role, they are ready to fulfill theirs. Time waits on his choice, but not on whom he will serve. When he is ready to learn, the opportunities to teach will be provided for him. It says, and it says in this chapter two, who are their pupils, that because we have free will, that we can make the choice of when we would like to learn this curriculum. And we're always teaching in every moment. And we need to remember that as well. We're always teaching in every moment. There's never a moment where when we're not teaching. So what I think of it is everybody's always watching, noticing, feeling the efficacy of our choices. So if we make a choice that's loving, they see the benefits it brings us. If we make an unloving choice, they see the hardship that brings us. And they feel it too, because we're all one. So the thing for us is to focus on accepting the atonement for ourselves, which is the recognition that there is no separation and we are all one. And it talks about in A Course in Miracles in the Manual for Teachers in Chapter 5, it talks about the healer's prayer. And the healer's prayer is just one line, and it's, "Let me know this brother as I know myself." So that's the whole antidote to all suffering in the world, is awareness of and valuing the unity of all life. And when we value unity and we practice that awareness, then by practicing it, we teach it, we're a healing presence. And as we teach, we learn. As we learn, we teach, and we are healed. So those are some of the most foundational things to my life in having a spiritual career. And I realized that, because I saw it in myself, that there were many potential spiritual teachers around me who were not stepping into their gifts and talents, were hesitant and reluctant. And it was precisely because, as near as I could tell, that like me, they were afraid to have much influence because they knew that they weren't living in a way that was pristine. They weren't taking care of their mind and keeping their mind pristine. So they were still allowing all kinds of negativity and judgments and blame and shame and regret and resentment. And it's very rare for me to meet someone who is a spiritual teacher who doesn't still have a lot of issues going on. Now, just because you have a lot of issues going on doesn't mean that you can't be an effective spiritual teacher. And so one of the things that I can say for myself is that when I started out teaching in spiritual classes and retreats and things, it was 20 years ago, and I definitely had major unworthiness issues, but I had a burning desire to learn, and teaching was a great way for me to learn. And I was willing to learn from my errors with humility. And I just couldn't stop talking about God. I just didn't want to talk about any other thing. That was what I was interested in. I won't say I was obsessed by it, but I was just so consumed and interested. And I was having an awakening. I still am having an awakening 20 years later. And so in the beginning, I did many counseling sessions on a donation basis, which I don't do anymore because I have a ministry to run and salaries to meet. And so, but I have counselors in training, many of them who can do sessions on a donation basis. And if you go to jenniferhadley.com/counseling, you can see them there and book a session with them. And I encourage you to do that. But when I started out, I did many a session for $5, for $10, for $2, for $1, for, some food. And nobody ever brought me a chicken, but for all kinds of things. And I was grateful for the opportunity to sit with them. And as I had made a pact with myself that I was not going to turn anyone away for lack of money. And at the same time, if they were not valuing what I was offering, and if there was no exchange at all, that I wouldn't teach that that was okay. I do believe that an exchange is healthy, and that some people will go and sit with a spiritual counselor, but they won't actually do the work. So they would love to sit and be comforted by the conversation. But when it comes to doing the deeper work of introspection and making different decisions and choices, some people are not so willing to do that. I don't support that in my work. That's just how I am. I have from time to time had to say to a client, I really think that I'm not the counselor for you. And it's because I feel that you're not so willing to do the work and that you really are kind of using me as a form of self-medication, and that's not what I'm here to do. So we can either shift how you're approaching this, or I can recommend someone else, and that's fine. No judgment at all about that. Let's get you what you would like, because all paths lead to the open door of pure spirit. So it was what I can remember feeling early on was that I was overwhelmed with the ideas of things like websites and marketing and emails and just all kinds of aspects of being a modern spiritual teacher and having a presence on the web and social media. It just was overwhelming to me. And I really wasn't interested in all those administrative things, but I felt I had to do them. I for sure was not earning enough money to hire anyone to help me. I could barely pay my bills. And so I felt that I was in this catch 22 of I don't have the money to do marketing and do the things that would bring more attention and bring more money. And I don't have enough money to pay my bills, and I'm exhausted trying to do all this stuff and learn about it and these things I'm not even interested in, like emails and websites. And it was a bit dizzying and discouraging. And so my answer was to pray for clarity, to pray for insight, to pray for wisdom. And what came to me was what I was talking about yesterday, which is this, what I think of as the greatest marketing principle of all time. Jesus, his teaching of, if I be lifted up, I draw all unto me. So I decided, I got activated. I really felt that I was being guided by spirit. And so I decided I'm going to go all in for God. And however it plays out, whether people are guided to me or I'm guided to do something else, however it plays out, I know it'll be good. Because I just know no bad thing can come to me if I'm all in for God. And that is my heart's desire, to be all in for God. And so that was the decision I made. And I can, of course, I can tell you there were still days when I had too much to drink, or I started smoking again, and then, you know, was feeling bad about myself. You know, I did all kinds of things through that period that were where I felt, this is so hard. How am I going to do this? But then I would say, no judgment of yourself is allowed, Jennifer, none. That's what being all in for God meant to me as my bottom line. No self-judgment. And let's face it, okay? Let's just be super real here, because I don't wish to play any kind of BS games with anybody. That's not my thing, right? Because I have felt many people who are wounded by teachers, and we see it all the time in religious groups, by teachers who say one thing and do another. People who are really just blatant liars. and it's very wounding to people. And I've met untold numbers of people who are deeply wounded by their spiritual community, their religious community, by their family, by the people they trusted, even by psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists, and doctors who have lied to people to line their own pockets to make themselves feel better. And enough of that, I say. I'm not interested in perpetuating that at all. So what I realized was that why I was playing so small and was experiencing so much limitation, because believe me, I went through periods where I was literally thinking, do I pay my phone bill? Do I put gas in my car? Or do I buy food? What am I going to do? I have this much money today. How am I going to handle what I have? I definitely had days like that. And but I didn't stop praying. I didn't stop moving forward in my love of God. So I was ping-ponging, but I was still more all in for God than for the ego. And I just ask you, if you have a spiritual teacher and you find out later that they were doing something hurtful to themselves, hurtful to other people, and but teaching that they were so good and kind and loving, or teaching that they knew what was best, but they were still doing things that were destructive to themselves and others, it might be shocking and all that stuff, but more than anything, it would be disappointing. And the thing is, we all share the same mind. So I started to realize that because I was in the Agape community that Michael Beckwith founded, he was my teacher, and I was in that community for a long time. I was involved in leadership for many years. I was in the choir for 11 years, and so very involved in that community as a practitioner, as a minister. And we had so many guest speakers there. Everybody came to Agape. Everybody comes to Agape in LA, practically. All kinds of self-help gurus and spiritual teachers of every kind and mystics, they all come to Agape. So I went to see a lot of them for a long time. That was something that I did recreationally and to educate myself. And it became very easy as I began to be more pristine in my own practices, in my own heart. It became easier and easier to tell just by listening to someone, just the sound of their voice, the look in their face, the energy around them, whether or not they were telling you something they knew versus something they had read or heard. And there's a difference. There is a difference. And because for a long time, I taught the law of cause and effect, but I did not live as though I really believed and knew that my words had power and that I was a powerful being and that my mind was the mind of God and that if I held something in my mind, it had an effect in the world. I said I believed it, but there was no question that if I truly believed that it applied at all times, in all circumstances, I absolutely would not have made a lot of the choices I made to think the thoughts I was thinking. And so when I went all in for God, I went all in for cleaning up my act. And the number one thing was to release my self-attack thoughts and my attack thoughts about others. That's far more important than a lot of other things that people might think about in terms of being pristine. Start with your mind, always start with your mind, because everything is an emanation of, you know, it's a projection of the mind. So always work at the level of the mind. And that's one of the things I love so much about A Course in Miracles. It's so clear. All healing is at the level of the mind. So that's where we do our work in order to be the most productive. So I became willing to follow my guidance, and one of the things that I found was that I really began to feel so much better about my life and myself when I decided to put God first in my life, and when I decided to go all in. And again, I just want to be really clear. I fell down on the job every day, many times a day, but that does not mean I wasn't doing the best I could. If you think of a toddler learning to walk, when they are determined to learn to walk, let's say, but they still might fall down 20 times in a day, but it does not mean that they are not determined to learn how to walk just because they're falling down. And I realized that about myself, and I realized that the number one thing that was going to help me with my healing was love, because that would return my vibration to the vibration of one who can be helpful. To be loving is to be helpful. Even if there's nobody else in the room and nobody else watching, I realized, and I'm so, so grateful for this realization, because it was life-changing to me. And because it was life-changing to me, it was life-changing to everyone on the planet. Because it was life-changing to me, it was life-changing to my family, to my friends, to my spiritual community, to my clients, to everyone. What I realized was, if I make an error, let's say I make an error and I say something sarcastic. I make an error and I say, I'm going to binge watch television today. I can't cope. If I make an error that I say something mean to someone, if I make whatever kind of an error I make, and I don't judge myself, I feel the judgment come up and then I go, no, heck no. I am not going down that road of self-attack. There's nothing that can get me down there. Not going that way anymore. That road is closed to all traffic. Done. There's nothing more for me to learn going down that road anymore. So I'm going right to non-judgment. And when we live in non-judgment, there's no forgiveness that's needed, because we haven't declared anything bad or wrong, so no forgiveness is needed. So that's my practice, non-judgment. So I would see, oh, I made a tactical error. I thought it might be comforting to me to get drunk last night. I thought it might be comforting to me to hang out with those people. I thought it might be whatever I thought it might be, and now I can see in hindsight that was an error. It was a tactical error. There were other choices that would have been more helpful, more productive in taking me where I'm interested in going, which is being a loving, healing, truly helpful presence in this world. Okay, I see it now. I've learned something for which I am grateful. Learning is good. And I'm going to love myself for being the ever-awakening learner that I am. Thank you, God, for my awareness. Thank you, God, for my life. Thank you, God, that I can learn. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'd lift myself with vibration. Just coincidentally, today I did a radio show, on the Unity Network, and you can get the episodes all at livingacourseofmiracles.com/radio. You can search there. You can find the transcripts. We're transcribing them all the time. You can also go to iTunes. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to all those places to get my 300 and some episodes of my radio show. But today the show is about gratitude is healing, and it is a healing practice. That was one of the most important things that I learned. So instead of going into self-attack and self-judgment, I learned to practice going into gratitude for being a learner. Now I know that I would rather be the rememberer. I'd rather awaken through joy than learning through experience. Because a lot of times learning through experience includes stubbing your toe, falling down, all kinds of things that are less than fun. So I'd rather be the joyful person who remembers what we already all know because we all share the same mind. And so a couple of things I saw in the course as I was preparing for today, chapter 5, section 6, paragraph 5. You are not yet awake, but you can learn how to awaken. Very simply, the Holy Spirit teaches you to awaken others. As you see them awaken, you will learn what waking means. And because you have chosen to wake them, their gratitude and their appreciation of what you have given them will teach you its value. And I discovered that to be true for myself, that I can learn how to awaken. I can also remember. And as I learn how to awaken, the Holy Spirit is teaching me to awaken others. Am I awakening them? No. No, I'm not the one who's awakening them. But I can see my brothers and sisters as awakened beings. And in doing so, I see myself as awake. And in doing so, I help repattern, reformat the one mind towards this person. And the greatest gift that we can give anyone, and this is why we can all have a spiritual career, is that we can see everything correctly and everything in truth. And anyone can do that, whether you're working in a donut shop or whether you're working in an auto body shop or you're in a kindergarten, whatever it is you're doing, you can see those around you correctly. And it's often easier to see them than it is to see ourselves. Just depends if we're a narcissist or not. So then in chapter 7, section 5, paragraph 7, it says, the unhealed healer wants gratitude from his brothers, but he is not grateful to them. That is because he thinks he's giving something to them and is not receiving something equally desirable in return. His teaching is limited because he is learning so little. His healing lesson is limited by his own ingratitude, which is a lesson in sickness. So what it's saying here is this is what the unhealed healer does. So we're all here to be truly helpful and to be a healing presence. All of us. All of us. And so when we want gratitude from our brothers and sisters, right, we want their appreciation, we want their thanks, we want their affirmation of our specialness, but we are not willing to be grateful to them, then we are actually creating sickness, illness. This is what it's telling us here. So and that our ability to awaken, if we're thinking people owe us and should appreciate us and this and that, it just means, I mean, one of the fundamental things I teach in my Finding Freedom, my Masterful Living course, is recognizing when we're giving to get that it's manipulative. It's highly manipulative. And it's so valuable to us to listen, to recognize when we're doing that so we can eliminate it. Because it is so constrictive, it is so limiting, and as it says here in the course, it's a lesson in sickness. And one of the biggest things I hear people talk about, complain about, bring up is that they feel upset and bothered because they're not being appreciated properly, right? They feel unappreciated. That's how you know you're giving in order to get something and you're trying to manipulate things. You're not giving from your loving heart if you feel unappreciated. So then you can stop, look, and listen. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Right? So, because I've had this conversation with people who were in healing professions, teaching professions, who were complaining about the people in their ministry, the people in their, it was funny. I'll tell you a little funny story, just an aside. I remember when I was in ministerial school, we had a class. Oh, it was on running a church, you know, running a church organization, and had to do with working with a board and the finances and different things like that. And I knew all these people in my class. I'd been in class with them for years. And it's not a huge group of people, you know, might be 25 people or whatever it was. And so the teacher was talking about dealing with the congregants and the board in different aspects. And so I raised my hand and I said, I just have a question here that I think we should talk about. I'm just concerned, what happens if I am the minister of a church and pretty much everybody in the church is a loser, like, I mean, a real loser? Then what happens? How do you handle that? And everybody in the room went, oh, like, how could she say that? Of course, I was kidding. I was totally kidding. But it was funny how everybody thought I was so serious, like I would really be thinking that. But the thing is that people do. They do think it. They think that the people around them are a pain in the butt, that they're a loser, that there's something wrong with them. And as I see my brother, I will see myself. And so the light worker who at work, whatever their profession is, if you're thinking that the people around you aren't so great, and it might be in your family too, that they're a bunch of losers, that you have these kinds of thoughts, you are being called to purify your mind of these thoughts. And it's really just an attachment. And it's also just a projection of your own sense of unworthiness. And you can be a profound healing presence. But let's face it, if you're in a profession where you're judging your clients, doesn't matter what your profession is. Believe me, I've worked with lawyers, I've worked with accountants, I've worked with all kinds of people. It doesn't matter what your profession is. If you're judging your clients, really, like attracts like. Hello. Hello. And if your intention, if you say your intention, your aspiration is to be a healing, beneficial presence in the world, and you're allowing yourself to entertain this kind of negativity, you're going to feel such a deep inner conflict. You will be feeling sick in some way, and it will only add to your sense of unworthiness. And so you will actually constrict and limit the number of people that you would be willing to work with. And so you will experience a narrowing of the pipeline, and you will experience fewer and fewer people coming to you and being drawn to you because you're teaching lack and limitation. You're living in lack and limitation. And I've just seen it over and over and over again. But the good news is that we can change our mind about it, and Spirit's immediately going to give us opportunities to work with very challenging clients who will help us put our mind right. So that cry for love that A Course in Miracles talks about, we'll start to recognize, oh, this client that's so challenging to me, they are sent by God to help me purify my mind, to help me remember the truth and live in the truth and value the truth and teach the truth. And I can be grateful for them for their teaching to me, right? But if the healer, if the teacher is thinking, oh, they should be so grateful to me that they get to work with me, nah. Mm-mm. That's specialness. And it just leads to sadness. It really, really does. It leads to the most unpleasant things. A Course in Miracles tells us so clearly to have, give all to all. So as it's saying here in chapter 7, section 5, paragraph 7, that our teaching is limited because our learning is so little when we're in that space that I was just describing. It says his healing lesson, the teacher of God's healing lesson, is limited by his own ingratitude, or the unhealed healer's lesson is limited by his own ingratitude, which is a lesson in sickness. True learning is constant and so vital in its power for change that a son of God can recognize his power in one instant and change the world in the next. This is because by changing his mind, he has changed the most powerful device that was ever given him for change. This in no way contradicts the changelessness of mind as God created it, but you think that you have changed it as long as you learn through the ego. So our mind is the most powerful agent of change. And I've seen it happen so many times. I've seen it where I was working with someone who just felt they were absolutely worthless. And I knew it not to be so. I knew the truth of their extraordinary value and extraordinary beautiful. I've sat with clients who just thought they were the scum of the earth. And all I could see was their perfection and their beauty, to the point where it made me weep. And, you know, I've had that happen a number of times where I just saw so clearly the beauty, it made me weep. And my being able to see it and know it and recognize it and affirm it supported that person in accepting it. If even for a moment, but you know, a moment can be life-changing. Now, I know we're coming up on time here, but I do have a couple more points I'm going to make. And one is that's so vital to me is spirit doesn't fail. Spirit cannot fail. It's just not even possible. I was talking about this yesterday a bit. Spirit knows no opposition. So how could spirit ever, ever fail? It's just not possible. There's no failure in God. So let us recognize we are of God. And as long as we stand in that awareness that we are of God, that we are here to be truly helpful, and that the one who sent us will direct us, and that we are here to represent God, as long as we are doing that, as long as we're not in service to the ego, as long as we're looking with eyes of love, we cannot fail. So I'll give you an example of my own experience as relates to living A Course in Miracles. I've just been thinking about this quite a bit lately. It seems to keep coming back. Spirit's got me talking about it. So I've learned to follow what I'm guided to speak about. And when I started living A Course in Miracles in 2010, the idea came to me in meditation, and I felt it. Like I saw a visual. I'm not a very visual person, but I saw the whole visual of the people and the light around it, and I felt all the energy of how it would go out into the world and bless people. I had no idea how to do something like that. I just had me, and I had hired a marketing consultant. My dad gave me the money, and I was at the time I was feeling so like, how am I ever going to do this? But I was just willing to be all in, and my dad said, I will lend you the money so you can get some help. And so I had started working with this marketing consultant, and I said, you know, I had this vision that came to me in meditation about doing this online class about A Course in Miracles. I've never seen anybody do it like that. I'd like to do it. I can feel that it would be so great. There are so many wonderful Course in Miracles teachers, and a lot of people don't know about a lot of them. Some of the best Course in Miracles teachers nobody's ever really heard of, and I would like to see if we could do this. Now, when I started out with that, I had no idea how much it would cost or how much work would be involved. Well, it ended up costing me personally $35,000. I didn't have a ministry then. There was no nonprofit. I didn't have any donations. And I had no idea how I would ever be able to pay that. I mean, that was more than my annual income at that point, $35,000. And during the experience of producing the whole class, I was working just, you know, 60-hour weeks, 7 days a week, just working, working, working. And I remember saying to my marketing person, had I had any idea how much work would be involved in this, I wouldn't have said yes to it. I am so glad Spirit did not give me a clue of how much work would be involved. I only got the clue of how much people could benefit. And I was so glad. And in the end, we sold the recordings and we sold the transcripts, and maybe you're one of the people who bought them. Then we did it at a very reasonable price to support people. Of course, we had them. They were free for 48 hours, and then we charged after that. And we managed to earn $30,000. So all that work I did, it still I didn't earn anything. I got to pay. I had the wonderful privilege of paying $5,000 to work my tuchus off for months of work. But you know what? There was so much benefit. And people let me know how much they loved the classes. And as it happened then, Spirit, I was in the flow of giving and receiving better than I'd ever been. I wasn't doing it to get money. I wasn't doing it to get something. I really was there to learn, to grow, to flow. And it didn't take me too long to pay it all off. And wow, that was amazing and miraculous to me. It was a great learning to me. And I've learned that God often operates in a bait and switch operation. I went out to Los Angeles to go to film school because I was a playwright at the time and I wanted to go to film school, and I'd had success playwriting and I was interested in having more success in the film business. And it turned out that I did go to film school, but then I so felt my calling to be a minister, and I had started going to Agape, and so I had to become a practitioner first. Through becoming a practitioner, I learned spiritual counseling, and through sitting with so many people as counseling clients, I opened my heart like never before. I became truly loving and compassionate like never before. I saw the beauty and the perfection and the wholeness in my clients, and therefore could learn to see it in myself. And I am so glad for my life now. I'm so glad that I followed the breadcrumbs that Spirit was giving me. I'm so glad that for quite a while, I wasn't making a lot of money because I did so many workshops where there were five people or three people. I even one time I drove over 2 hours to go do a workshop in a church for one person. One person. And the minister hung out in the room just to keep me company with the one person. And at the end of the workshop, I knew by what the minister said that I was actually there to support that minister. How amazing was that? So I ended up driving, what, 4.5 hours round trip, paid for my own gas. I got a $20 donation for teaching that workshop to one person. And it took basically the whole day because I went to service, the Sunday morning service at the church, and had lunch with the people and all of that. And so, but I learned so much that day. I got to be in service that day. I got to share that day. I got to celebrate God that day. And but I could see where someone could have been in my shoes and said, you know, this is terrible. This is a waste. I should give this up. This is never, I'm never going to make a living. This is costing me money. I didn't even make, you know, hardly gas money to do this. But you see, I knew then that God wasn't making any mistakes with me, that I needed to be able to do workshops for one person, two people, three people, four people, five people, six people, seven people. Years and years I did workshops like that for small groups of people. I did them in people's living rooms and people's backyards and all kinds of situations. And I learned and learned and learned. And to be honest, I was so glad just to be able to talk with people about God because it was my passion, as it still is, obviously. And I learned so much because of those people who shared up to do the work with me, you know, who were making donations. And, you know, maybe I could walk out of the room with $60. And maybe I could afford to pay for the room I rented and things like that. And so, to me, having a successful spiritual profession, a spiritual career, is really recognizing that we work in service to the light. And the only way to have a life of joy is to be in service to the light. There's no other way. And we don't have to be someone who's a minister or a spiritual teacher to be in service to the light, because trust me, I know so many people in my classes who are in service to the light as grandmothers and grandfathers. They are in service to the light as nurses and doctors. They are in service to the light as salespeople. It's so many ways. Everything that we're doing, we can be of service to the light. And that is the thing that I absolutely know. And so, what is helpful to us and is really required is for us to claim it, to name it and claim it, and say, yes, I work for God Incorporated. I serve the light. I serve the light. And it's my pleasure to serve the light. And so we can serve the light whether we're standing online in the coffee shop or whether we're stuck in traffic. We can be of service in the light by shifting the energy in the room, by shifting the energy in the traffic. Believe me, I've done it. I have done it. I've had amazing experiences. We can all do it. So this is my invitation, is for us to think of our life as being in service to the light, that there are no wasted moments, because in every moment, even one where we have fallen down, we've been rude, we've been unkind to the telemarketer, we were huffy with the waiter, we told someone we loved that they were stupid, no matter what we've done that we might think was heinous or whatever judgment we might have for it, we can turn it around in that moment and say, no judgment myself. I'm going to learn from this experience. I choose to learn from my experiences, to harvest the learning now through being non-judgmental. Because remember, when we don't forgive, we just have to recreate the learning again and again and again until we're finally willing to forgive. So when we can practice non-judgment every day, since everybody shares our mind and everybody is watching us, we are truly that tide of love. We're riding that tide of love that raises everyone. All boats rise on the tide. So when we're in tune with that tide of love, all boats rise on this tide of love. And obviously I could go on for many hours because this is my passion. And just going to tune in here and see if there's anything left for me to share. I will share that I'm doing my spiritual counseling training intensive in October, mid-October, and that is for anyone and everyone who would like to do some deeper work with me. And it's in-person training. It's in North Carolina. You can read about it at jenniferhadley.com, my spiritual counseling training intensive. And it's open to everyone, and if you can't join me this October, but you do feel called, then just know that I think the next one will be in April, so there will be another one. And let's move into prayer here. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. My love of God has propelled me for 10 years now to record a prayer every day, almost every day. It's been years since I missed a day. I think maybe once I was sick, I couldn't quite do it. But anyway, I record a new prayer every day, and I write my daily blog, which is called My Spiritual Espresso, and that's free every day at jenniferhadley.com. It's one of the ways that I get to share my passion and my learning. So I invite you to take your hand and place it on your heart, and let's be wholeheartedly and all in for God together in this moment, knowing that only good can come from it, that we are united in the love of God, and it's our very nature to express love and perfect love. So grateful and so thankful that our very essence is perfection. It always has been, and it always will be. And this is the truth for our brothers and sisters, and we're grateful that we can see the truth, know the truth, because we are the truth. We are the gem. We are the jewel. We are the treasure. We are perfect love already. So we're grateful and thankful to partner with the higher Holy Spirit self and to relinquish any and all thoughts that are false. All beliefs that are false fall away. We stand in the light of truth, willing to be of service to the light. We are grateful that all of life supports us. We are grateful that we are never alone, and we are profoundly loved. In gratitude, we share the benefits with all because we are one with them. In gratitude, we let it be. And so it is. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you so much for joining with me. I love you, and I look forward to our class tomorrow. Mwah! This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.